from the GTDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
What is it these guys do at halftime that leads to such a remarkable third quarter result? DubCon 3 was a lot of fun last year. We had the t-shirts made up. We had some laughs. Pappas is wearing his today in the other room. It's fantastic. We might need to bring those back for giveaways and for sale because, get this, the Warriors now lead this series 3-0 after trailing for 51% of the three games. These three games, 48 minutes times three, the Warriors have been trailing for 51% of that. Now, to be up 2-1, to be down 0-3, to be down 2-1, those would all be reasonable results based on the fact that you've been trailing for 51% of the series. But the fact that you've trailed for 51% of the series and you're up 3-0 in somewhat convincing fashion, Loneal, I got to tell you, again, I shouldn't be surprised by what I'm watching, but I am.
You should be.
And good morning.
Good morning to you all. And all a good day. Everyone should be surprised at what we're seeing. This doesn't happen. You're down by double digits, 15, 17 in the third quarter. There's two games. You look at this and you, the outside looking, and you think, my God, you could say, you know what? The Dubs should be losing this series 1-2. They should be down 2-1. Should be. And it's if they could be. And all these things surrounding. But reality is, they're not. Reality is, they're friggin' so consistent in the second quarter. They are like friggin' Ray Leonard, friggin' when you think about.
How about Deontay Wilder? He looked good. He looked good Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
As I slide that in.
Classic two-piece.
Terrifying man.
Did you see that punt? I mean, he hit that dude and his head almost came off his body. I was like surprised he stood up on that one.
But surprised he lived.
Me too. But when you think about the greats, the Ray Leonards, the Alis, Floyd Mayweather. What and also SOG, Son of God, think about what Andre always talk about, the championship rounds. We went to the fight, Joe, and we watched him fight the first time when he fought. You said, man, it looked like he's losing. And then that sixth round, you saw it just turn. The Warriors are a prize, great prize fighter. In the second half, when it gets serious, when the fight now begins, everyone's jabbing. Okay, man, they look pretty. And when it starts, when that third quarter starts, something about this Warrior team, they just keep coming, and you see teams just fade. They, in the second half, is unbelievable. It's masterful. It's like a prize fighter. In the second half, Daniel, the way in which they go about the knockout.
Offense entertains, defense wins championships.
No,
it's one of your great low-isms that you've shared with us throughout the course of my near 3 years on this program. And you look at the number Joe threw out, which was 51% of the time. Well, look at game three, 66-33. They gave up 66 points in the first half. They gave up just 33 after the intermission, 13 in the third, 20 in the fourth. Offense entertains, defense wins championships. And at the end of the day, when you don't have KD, but you still have Draymond Green, you realize that you can do it with defense. And the way they stifled and shut down Portland's offense after the intermission was really the most awe-inspiring part for me.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 707. Bend the knee low from the 209. Joe, you should have opened the show with Lorenzo's funeral on his bogus takes. That's from Fernando in Stockton.
Fernando.
Easy. Wait. We got 5 shows this week. 4 hours a show, 20 beep, hours of radio.
Time out. Throw a flag on this guy. He's all beep, beep, like backing up.
I hear no.
No.
Not like backing up.
I heard you.
I'm preparing them for the life support take because your take of Warriors in 7, it is on its last gasp.
Okay, here
and that's a fact.
All right, I wanted to use those texts as an example of how we're going to ease into the takes.
Nice try, right, Joe.
Early Monday. Maybe subtly and quietly, I was hoping it would create this problem very early in the show, which I'm quite enjoying.
Understood.
And I don't need to ask for the truck backing up. I have it right here.
Okay. All I want to say,
asking for the hospital beep.
Now, hold on. The truck hasn't actually backed up yet.
Wait a minute. No, here's the deal. if we're gonna be fair and partial,
Then
I'm with you, and I'll back up. We'll do the knee. But let's wait till after tonight, because let me tell you something. You're talking about what the Warriors, they've been losing by 51% of they've been trailing.
51%, Portland has trailed 51%. Portland has led 51% of the series.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what was the score of the first game? first series, the first game. Do you know the score?
The final score?
Yeah.
They won by 22.
What is it? You know the they won by 22. You don't know the final score. What was the final score?
Okay.
What was the final score of the second game?
They won by 3, I believe.
Yeah, but still don't know the score. So it doesn't matter.
It was an over.
Right, but it doesn't matter.
I think it was an over.
It was.
No, actually.
It was an over. It was an over second game under the first game.
Curse you for doing this to me this early.
I know.
Curse you.
This is going somewhere, but it's like driving around the Arc de Triomphe where you go around in circles one after another.
Now I'm
getting dizzy.
Joe, now I'm closing. So since he's saying, making a mockery, it's too early, but everyone's coming at me. Now, shouldn't everyone bend the knee? Whether we don't know, none of us could tell us the score. But whether I said 7, whether he said 5, whether she said 6, why aren't all of us bend the knee if this is a sweep tonight?
That is a segment for today's show, and that is an excellent question. You have been given the opportunity to bend the knee on your Warriors in 7.
You want to bend it?
You
were defiant.
Had been.
Anna was given the opportunity. She passed as well. Now the opportunity comes to Dibs and I, who had the Warriors in 5.
Thank you.
And whether or not we are going to project the sweep tonight, whether we want to bend the knee and get out of a potential funeral tomorrow. Game 3 was Saturday. Warriors 110, Portland 99. We've got plenty in store for you on that. Game 4 tonight, 6 p.m. is your tip time right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors find themselves as 3.5-point favorites for this one. Over-under of about 220. Do you see it ending tonight?
Yes.
As 9 or 10 of your takes just come crashing to the ground like the
beloved.
Red Key.
No, dearly beloved for you, too. It's dearly beloved for everyone. So anyway, Joe, without a doubt, I'm surprised that it's at 3.5. And Anna, this morning, very shame on you that you talk about, don't play the guys. Yeah, let me tell you something.
I didn't say rest the guys.
You stole my Houston take?
Yeah, she was like, they shouldn't play as much. You should let them, don't play Iguodala. Don't play him?
No, do not play Iguodala tonight.
Let me tell you something. Do you know what it's like? Did you know you're going to close and you're an athlete and you understand that you could be going on the road for both these road trips?
Anna, have you ever played pro football before?
No.
I have not played pro football.
Think about from your Prater Puff tournament and you're in a tournament. Why would you want to prolong this and then come back home and play and then friggin' have to go on the road for both, whoever wins in East, you're on the road. Wouldn't you want to get there and rest? Let me tell you right now, tonight it's over. You go all out. These boys want to rest. Without a doubt.
And coffee's for closers. Tonight, everyone should just be walking around the court with cups of coffee in their hand.
I don't want to see Iguodala on the court tonight. I want him rested tonight. I need Iguodala to rest.
I really hope everybody on earth comes at you the way they came at me for that thought.
Thank you. Come at her right now, guys. Do you want this
chill
team to take
it easy? 95795. Should the Warriors rest everyone tonight and prep for game 5 like Anna is suggesting? 957-95. I may be paraphrasing a bit there.
We should go ahead and do it at 7:30. Go ahead and have the beef line for this particular take.
It's got to happen after the fact, though. You can't have the beef line for it the day of. It has to. If it turns out to be a bad decision, like if Iguodala plays well, they win big, then you go ahead and you bring the beef line into play. That's how it worked with me.
Okay.
That's how it worked with me.
Okay.
I had to take about 4 days worth of punishment on that, including the weekend. Anywho, John Dickinson will join us today at 6:30. Is he in Portland? I'd imagine he's in Portland covering
us. Yes, he is.
And then we've also got Kalena Azabuki coming in studio at 9 o'clock this morning. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm not going to give you all the details, but there is a graphic that's been made up for potential NBA Finals t-shirts that we'll be giving away and selling throughout the course of the finals. It's not a finalized deal yet, but Dibs, you saw an early mock-up. Without spoiling the surprise of what it looks like, what are your initial thoughts?
It's great. It's phenomenal. It's a great one. It looks really
good. Impersonating.
That was a little bit of Rome. A little bit of early morning Rome. I understand that, Lo, you don't listen to a lot of sports talk, and you don't have the same sort of level of knowledge of the industry as I.
How many times have you been on Jim Rome?
You probably don't understand the impersonation.
Have you been on Jim Rome show?
Have I? Yes, I have, as a caller in 1989. Oh, okay. I believe I got racked.
You were on as a guest?
Yeah, more than twice. Oh, yeah.
That's a big show.
Yeah. It's no big deal. Me and Jim. Jim knows me. So when you say that,
give a call right now during the break.
Yeah,
that was nice. There was a shot fired and then a few shots fired back. Is a good early opening segment for the week.
No, it's great.
Really sets the tempo.
It's great. And much like when you take on a young spry challenger, you survive the early rounds and you know full well that the knockout punch isn't coming. Win the middle rounds. And then as he loses interest here in about half an hour, I'll move in.
What do you do with Draymond Green? What do you do with Draymond Green? For Portland, I don't think there's anything they can do to slow him down. In the next series, who knows? We'll get into all those matchups. But if you're the Warriors right now, what are you thinking about Draymond Green? Are you thinking about trying to get some sort of deal done this offseason? After all, he is eligible. Maybe you try to work something out now. Do you really chance it another year? Do you want him around long term? We kicked this around last week. And all he's continued to do since then is put up monster numbers, great leadership in the biggest and most important spots of the season. We will discuss that next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Saturday night, my intention was to catch the first half of the game, and then the wife and I had dinner reservations, so we were going out to have the rare date night.
Classy.
So we catch the first half, we jump into an Uber, we head to the restaurant, recording the second half, not planning on looking at the phone, not planning on checking anything, just realize, all right, they're down. Always a chance they come back. We've seen it before. But I'll come home afterwards, see what happened, watch the second half, take my notes, probably do a little studying on Sunday, get ready for the show Monday. Nice restaurant, but at the table next to us, the couple was dressed very nicely. They were having a very nice time. And then sure enough, it must have been right at the close of the third, the female in the equation starts telling the male exactly what's happening in the game. And she had obviously looked at her phone. And she, like everyone else in this building, apparently, is following what's happening with the Warriors. And she's updating them on how they've come all the way back, A, B, C, and D. He starts talking about it. The conversation, because they were getting ready to leave. The whole conversation turns to the game. They end up leaving. 30 minutes or so later, from the bar area in the restaurant, you hear an eruption. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, they came back and they won this game. And then went home, checked everything out, and did all that stuff. But the buzz is very real. The buzz is very real. The jerseys seem to come out in the city a little bit later than they have in the past. People wearing the flair, the gear, but by and large, they seem to be on board. That was another huge game. We've got game four tonight, and no one was bigger than Draymond Green in game three at all. 20 points, 6 of 12 shooting, 13 boards, 12 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, plus 16 in 38 minutes. His game is on a completely different level right now, Dennis.
It's just hilarious when you watch him play, when you actually see what he does, whether it's the defense, the rebounding, the assists, the breakneck speed with which he brings the ball into the front court, and you can't help but really enjoy the style that they're playing. Put aside the KD component and what they are when he comes back and what Draymond is. You have to just look at Draymond Green and realize that in a year and a series or a series and a half, he'll be a free agent, and you wonder what the future might hold as we start to prioritize Warriors. He has to move up your chart when you watch him in this series.
He does, no doubt. And yesterday, the day before, Joe, when that game happened at halftime, I would go right to my line, sports line. It's 4, the Warriors minus 4, and it's 112. I absolutely bomb it again in that second half. I'm like, there's no way. They're down by 15. They have too much heart. And I'm like, I didn't know if they were going to win the game, but I knew that
you
they
would come back and cover the 4.
Cover the 4. And I said, no way is this going to be.
Nostradamus here.
No way it's going to be 112. So I did, Joel, on that
You went
one.
Under the 112?
Under the 112, and I parlayed it. And
oh, my God.
I went back.
For those at home who can't see, which is all of you, Lowe's got a huge stack
said,
of cash on him right now.
Let me go see my book. Let me go get my cash.
There are rubber bands there.
I got some
Anytime
bands.
There's a rubber band involved, you know you're in good shape.
I got my envelope. It was a good week. I'm telling you, last week was a good league for the big fella.
That's the envelope filled with cash. This is not a bit.
So,
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I wanted to come in.
Are you sure you want to carry that much cash around? Because a little guy like you might get jumped. I don't know if I'd be waving that around in this room. There's some bad men in here.
Impressive. You've been on one, but it's always nice to see the fruits of the labors as well.
Exactly.
Very nice. Thank you for showing me that. I feel so good.
Good morning,
I feel so
Daniel.
Good for
you.
Just another humble brag from our resident 1%er. Coming in all crinkle, crinkle, little star.
It felt good. Joe, you know it feels good to go pick that up. It just,
of course. It also feels good to talk about Draymond Green's big night. Oh. Somehow you turn it into your big night. Sorry, Draymond.
I'm thinking Draymond.
That triple-double, clearly not all that impressive compared to Lowe betting the Warriors in the second half. Just thoroughly. 7 triple-doubles for Draymond's career in the postseason. The rest of the Warrior franchise in history, just 6 postseason career triple-doubles. Draymond, after the game, had some great comments this is in regards to why you don't see him fighting with officials as much, picking up as many technicals as we saw earlier.
I realize, you know, like how impressionable the kids are at the ages they're at. And, you know, just really want to be a good example for them and show them the right thing. Like my son was playing, like he was shooting and flopping. I'm sorry, yeah, you got to stop watching NBA. Shooting and falling on the floor like, oh, daddy, help me up. It's like, no, G, what you flopping for? But no, it's just like, you know, really impressionable at this age, and I want to make sure I'm setting a good example for them as well.
He also went on to talk about the fact that he had looked back on earlier in the series, probably the Houston series, because everyone was guilty of this. It's not just him. But just that there was too much crying and not enough playing. So he decided to just focus on playing. And he is putting up, I've got a page of Draymond Green stats, some of which don't even seem realistic. I mean, just for example, in game three, the Warriors were 12 of 23 shooting off of his passes. 12 of 23, that's over 50%. Now, he has created 205 assist opportunities this postseason. Only Jokic from Denver has created more. The Warriors are shooting 59% from the floor off of his passing. 59%. That is incredible, the attention he's garnering right now. And then the coup de grace, so to speak. His rankings in Game 3. So just take Game 3, what you saw. Draymond Green ranked first in points in the paint with 12. First in assists with 12. First in assist opportunities with 23. First in field goal attempts defended at 19. So he's doing it on both ends. First in rebounds at 13. First in steals at 4. That's all the Blazers players, all the Warrior players. In Game 3, he ranked first in those six categories.
And he's not the tallest guy on the court.
No!
Isn't it amazing, though, when you watch Draymond get a rebound, he's not dribbling slow. He is the most active guy in the whole NBA. No one wants to get out. I don't care. You name me a guy in the NBA, once they get a rebound, they push the ball like Draymond. Draymond's consistent in which he goes about his business. And I think this is good for the team. I think this is great for KD. I think it's great for the whole team. If KD comes back, whether his calf gets healed or not, whether he decides to play. Because now you get to see what value Draymond brings if everyone buys into it. When you know he's going to push, if guys are moving, he's going to find you. He is going to find you. You look at Draymond, what his value is through the Richter. It's not that they're not better with KD. I get that. But if everyone buys in to everyone's strengths, this team can be unstoppable, especially when Draymond's pushing it and then everyone's moving and doing what he does. Because he puts so much pressure on the opposition with the layup and going to the hole. And if not, if they finally get back there, he kicks it out. It's a wide open three because in which he comes up the court. I just think that it's great for everyone around to watch this guy and say, man, if we want to be better, when KD comes back, we got to continue to push the ball. We can't go slow bringing, especially when Draymond in transition, that's when he's most deadly.
It's not just that, too. You're talking about off the rebound.
Yes.
But when Portland makes a basket, when the opponent makes the basket, he will grab that ball, get underneath and out of bounds, and fire that thing in to press it up the court as fast as humanly possible. How often do you see the other team give up a bucket and go, oh, and then a slow one bounce inbound, yep, and then whoever gets it turns around and walks it up the court, letting the defense get completely set.
Yep.
Talk to their coach, communicate, and figure it out. Draymond is not going to allow that.
No, and he knows now at this point in the season what it takes effort-wise, and all these Warriors do, and that's where muscle memory really kicks in because the Blazers haven't played this deep since the year 2000. And the last time that was, Damian Lillard was, what, 4 years old? So I don't think he was on that Blazer team.
Right.
So none of these Blazers have played this deep. You mentioned Toronto and the fatigue that they're showing, and Milwaukee. These are teams who haven't played this deep in the year. And Draymond Green was able to conserve his body throughout the year. He played a little bit heavy, so once he lost all that weight, his legs were fresher. He looks fresher. He looks incredibly quick. It doesn't look like late May the way he goes up and down the floor.
It's a 15-round fight with these Warriors. They're coming at you every single round. This when you think you got a 10-8 round, they come right back. Just when you think, okay, when you're up by 17, you're up by 15, they don't know how to quit. They're like a pit bull. They're just going to keep coming. You got to kill them. And right now, you let this team stick around. You just see them. They're down by 15. They're cutting into 10. Now, before you know it, it's 8. Before you know it, it's 7. It's just in the way in which they work. It puts so much pressure on the opposition. You always have to be on your P's and Q's. And you saw so many times in transition, Portland can't get back. Portland's got only it's 4 and 5. And it's just like, you're like, man, because the velocity in which they're going and the speed in which the whole Warrior team's playing at, it wears teams out and teams can't keep up.
It's like when Arturo Gatti stepped up to fight Floyd Mayweather. He had all these great fights. I always loved watching, which, by the way, shout out, Saturday was the 17-year anniversary of Gatti Ward 1.
Wow.
Tweeted it out. Watch that 9th round, 3 of the greatest minutes in all of boxing history. He stepped up for Mayweather, and I remember watching that fight. I was living in San Diego at the time thinking, come on, Gatti. Like,
right.
I love Gatti.
Me too.
He had no business being in that fight. Floyd Mayweather took him apart from pillar to post, start to finish, made him look really bad. That's what it's looking like with Portland right now.
It is.
Good basketball team that's had a great season, but now they find themselves in this situation where
pressure
if they
cooker.
Blink, if they find themselves in a tight spot, they cannot stop the bleeding once the wound opens up. John Dickinson, speaking of lean and mean, John Dickinson, who's looking fantastic these days, fantastic shape.
Good.
He's going to be joining us next to talk about the Andre Iguodala injury. Is it possible Iggy plays and Anna catches a funeral in the opening hour of the first day of the show this week? That's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Speaking of Anna, here she is with what's coming up on the game.
I don't like that idea. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Floor and Decor. Warriors up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Dubs look to close out the series tonight in Portland. Coverage starts at 4:30 with Warriors Live right here on 95.7 The Game. Now, Andre Iguodala left Game 3 with soreness in his lower leg. His MRI yesterday came back clean, but he is listed as questionable for tonight. Should Andre play tonight? I say no, but Jolo and Dibs will discuss and ask Jim Barnett when he joins the show this morning at 8:30. Draymond Green on Saturday posted his 7th career triple-double in the playoffs, and Steve Kerr had high praise for Dre after the game.
I don't even know what to say about Draymond. He was like a wrecking ball out there, destroying everything in his path. The pace that he was generating was incredible, and it just seemed like he never got tired.
Now, how important is Day-Day to this team, and is he the MVP of the playoffs? Well, Kalen Azubuki will be in studio today for the 9 a.m. hour. They'll ask him that and more. And on the Diamond Giants, Johnny Cueto could return this season. When can we see him pitch, and will he be a Giant? Well, Damon Bruce will ask our baseball insider, John Morosi, at 4:30. I'm Anna Kagadaikis, and John Dickinson will join us next from Portland on 95.7 The Game.
Jolo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To Portland we go. 95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson joining us live on the scene here on 95.7 The Game. JD, good morning. Thanks for getting up early for us. We appreciate it. Game 4 tonight, 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's start with Andre Iguodala. Any update on his status coming off the MRI yesterday?
Yeah, questionable for tonight. I'd be surprised if he goes, considering the score of this series now with the Warriors having the 3-0 lead. But it sounds as if him being pulled out both in the first quarter and in the third quarter. Third quarter he didn't return was more precautionary than anything. But with Iguodala, you never can be too careful. And with what is looming for the Warriors and one more win and one more series to be played and possibly as many as 9 days off if they can win tonight, I would think that they would be cautious with him tonight and this left calf after the MRI came back clean and just sit him tonight, see if you can get the win and then see where you're at. If you do wind up getting the win, then he winds up getting a couple of days more in addition to that 9.
I know you want to advance as quickly as possible, and you don't want to take anything for granted, but how much is Steve Kerr using the balance of this series to try and test things out? Damian Jones in the starting lineup, maybe different combinations on the floor. Are you getting that sense from the Warriors coaching staff?
Yeah, I really think that's part of the reason why Damian Jones got the start on Saturday night, and that didn't exactly go well, to say the least, but they were able to overcome his 3 minutes and 17 seconds of 3 personal fouls and basically putting Portland in the penalty to a point where they were able to get out to a nice little lead before the Warriors came back and cut that to 2 at the end of the quarter. But no, I mean, Steve Kerr thought that he needed the bench without Kevin Durant in this series, And he's trusted the bench without Kevin Durant in this series. And Game 3 is another example, whether it's Kevon Looney or Alphonso McKinney, who wound up being a plus 24 in the game on Saturday night, playing extended minutes with Iguodala playing fewer minutes. I mean, he had a positive impact. Quinn Cook knocked down a couple of big shots. Jordan Bell was a positive player despite his missed dunk. So, I think he's trying things. I think he's instilling confidence in his bench players and telling them that, you know, if this team is a little bit shorthanded in the finals, there's going to be three, four, five, six guys that maybe have to step up in a limited role.
Yeah, when you think about this series, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion the Warriors look to sweep. How much do you think tonight they're trying to sweep purely based on the fact now that you know that Milwaukee and Toronto is going to head to, have an extra game? How much is that rest? How big is that for the Warriors to take care of business tonight?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And let's not forget, I mean, it's huge for not only Iguodala, but Kevin Durant and even DeMarcus Cousins, who hasn't been ruled out from a return possibly in the finals. So, yeah, I think the Warriors have to look at what happened last night with the double overtime game in Toronto and the Bucks and Raptors now at least going to play a fifth game. So you start to look at the calendar there, and that means they're going to play till Thursday. If it goes six, they're going to play Saturday. And it wouldn't be a surprise if that series even goes seven. And what's crazy is that series could go, if it does go seven, the finals would then start on Thursday. So it could be a scenario where the Warriors have a significant advantage in terms of rest and being able to get guys healthy. And I think, we talk about the bench, and the bench has been a positive factor for the Warriors. But Steve Kerr still, throughout all three rounds to this point, has played Curry probably a little bit more than he'd want to, has played Klay Thompson probably a little bit more than he'd want to. Klay's got Steph's got the finger that he's still dealing with. So, no, rest is of the utmost importance if the Warriors can get that game tonight and get that full 9 days to take a couple off, practice for a couple, maybe take another day off, and then figure out who the heck you're playing and start preparing in earnest.
John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game reporter from Portland, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Do we know why Steve Kerr won't just start Kevon Looney at center?
I think he likes the matchup with him against bench players, and I also think he doesn't want to play him 35 minutes for whatever reason. I think he feels he's more effective in the 20 to 25. I know he played 27 on Saturday night, but I think he doesn't want to expose him, I think, early to foul trouble. And I also think he it's about combinations for Kerr too, more than individual. I want this player with, I want to get this player this minutes. It's more about groups of players that he likes seeing together. And I think he feels if Looney starts, it probably leaves another part of the game more vulnerable with him unable to play another part of the game. And maybe I got to go to Jordan Bell in a situation where you don't want to go to Jordan Bell and the like. So he's not opposed to doing it, but he's definitely reluctant to do it. And I think, given Damian Jones the start on Saturday, for example, I think that was about seeing what Damian Jones has, but it's also about letting Damian Jones play with the other four best players the Warriors have to offer in an attempt to allow him to succeed more, knowing that Looney in his normal role is probably going to succeed at the level that he always does. But the side part of that is, starting Damian Jones was a mistake. That's the other thing. Steve Kerr said he didn't go that far yesterday at the Warriors team hotel and their media availability, but he did say, hey, I put him in a really difficult spot, put a lot on his plate. I think unfair and probably a mistake if you really got Steve Kerr cornered doing that to Damian Jones.
3 minutes, three fouls, and a minus five. I think it's not much of a stretch to characterize that as a mistake. If Iguodala is out, is it McKinney who steps into the lineup? Does Jarebko get more minutes? How do you offset the Swiss Army knife nature of Andre Iguodala, especially in the opening 6 minutes?
Yeah, I think it's McKinney for more minutes, and you saw that Saturday. He's a guy that's been playing 8 to 12, and he got bumped up all the way to 21, hit maybe the biggest three-pointer of the game down the stretch as the Warriors were starting to take control. So I think you'll see him play. I think you'll see maybe a little bit more of Sean Livingston, who continues to dial it up and find ways to be effective. as well. I think you're going to probably see a little bit more Quinn Cook, too, and maybe some smaller lineups as well with Klay Thompson having to shift over and play the three a little bit. But, yeah, I think McKinney gets the start. McKinney gets the bulk of the minutes with Iguodala out.
John Dickinson live from Portland joining us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, great stuff as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Travel safe, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, guys.
So, the big question, does the series end tonight? That plus a couple stats that will blow you away. Coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
When Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr has been the head coach of the Golden State Warriors for what will be his fifth full season when this season reaches its conclusion. In those 5 years, this is now the ninth time the Warriors have taken a 3-0 series lead in the playoffs. There are teams that have not been to the playoffs in the last 5 years. And in Kerr's 5 years on the job, which still, not a full 5 years, not done yet, 9-3-0 series leads. Nine. I mean, how far back do you have to go to get to 9 total playoff series for the Knicks?
Right.
You're probably going back 20 years to add all that up. How far back do you have to go to get to 20 total playoff series for the Timberwolves or the Magic? This is incredible.
It's incredible.
Of the 9 series in which the Warriors have taken a 3-0 series lead, 5 have ended in sweeps, which is going to lead to the question today, how many people in this room are going to be bending the knee? Lowe no longer has the opportunity. He's headed for
bye-bye.
A funeral, a dragon burning, a casket slapping, a casket tipping, and then, as someone said on Twitter, urinating on the casket and the body after it hits the ground. Very gruesome, but that's what happens when you pick him in 7,
you people,
if in fact the sweep takes place.
Graphic.
You billions are beautiful. For you guys want the worst for me. You guys always want the worst for me. And it Dibs and Ann and everyone else, you guys should want the worst for me. Why all me? I feel like Charlie Brown. Why come everybody's always picking on me?
That was Billy Ball. It's a great A's tune from the late 70s when Billy Martin was the skipper of the Oakland A's.
And because you predicted the least favorable outcome for Warrior fans.
Yeah.
You picked 7. Anna picked 6. She's heading for most of what I described outside of the body getting urinated on after it falls out of the casket.
Sure.
That's reserved for you. And then
right,
Dibs and I now have to make the decision on whether or not we're going to bend the knee on our Warriors in 5 predictions. Do you bend the knee to avoid the funeral, assuming a sweep's coming tonight? Do you play your odds? They are a 3.5-point favorite. Or do you let it ride? Root against the Warriors tonight.
You guys
hope
let
they
it ride.
Close in 5.
You guys let it ride. Don't bend the knee. Let it ride.
I will present it to you. We will be live streaming today starting at 9, so any knee bending will be taking place in the final hour when you can watch the show. Have you made up your mind on which direction you're going?
Absolutely, I've made up my mind. And there's no need to bend the knee, especially when you look at a situation where you, as a prognosticator, and by you I mean me in this case, I said gentleman sweep all along, and the true definition of a gentleman sweep isn't just a team winning in 5. It's a team winning the first 3 and then losing one or donking one off, as you like to say, and then ending the series at 5, usually at home. That's the true definition of a gentleman sweep. I predicted a gentleman sweep, and right now this game is going exactly according to Hoyle as we talk playing cards for just a moment. So thank you for the offer, Joe. I will not be bending the knee because I believe Portland will win tonight in game 4, and we'll be back in Oakland for a game 5 clincher.
I am absolutely leaning towards bending the knee. Absolutely. I do not like, they're 3.5-point favorites tonight. Like, Vegas is telling me flat out. Plus, in each of the 3 games I've watched, Portland had a reason to compete. I don't know what their reason is anymore. I think their spirit has been broken. I think their backs have been broken. That's figuratively, of course. And I think announcing the Damian Lillard rib injury after game 3 was that white flag. Basically, look, we're getting beat, but you have to remember, our star player, he's hurt. We didn't want to tell anyone, but now we're going to let you know about it. I think that's kind of one of those, yeah, we know what we're in for here, and we might as well get that out in the open so that we can move forward. I am seriously thinking about bending the knee. I got to figure out, though, what that means moving forward, because it really works out well for you three. If I bend the knee, they close in 4, and you just get mass funerals tomorrow. It's not as if any one person finds themselves in the direct crosshairs.
That's how it's going to end up happening. So I'm fine with that, and I'll do whatever everyone, because now it's unanimous. All of us are in the same church, same people. Because a loss, whether it's 4, 5, 7, doesn't matter. We're still all wrong.
Don't try to paint me with your loser brush.
But that's where you end up. That's what I'm worried about.
Don't give me but.
But
he's
no,
right.
Everybody ends up in the same grave.
Just tipped over, naked, urinated on with a couple of shovels worth of dirt, and people move on about their day. Like the streets of King's Landing.
Yes, I guess when you talk about how it ends, but right now his take of Warriors in seven is so sickly.
Why?
So as to be... Because Portland's not going to win three straight, Coach.
It does matter
because my take is still healthy. My take is still strong. And while Joe is perhaps going to bend the knee and thereby get out of any possibility of getting credit if the Warriors eventually win in five. So if Joe bends the knee and says, you know what, I don't want to be on the hook for a funeral for this take, I'm out. If the Warriors go ahead and lose tonight, and then they ended up winning in game five, he gets no credit.
Correct.
I will be the exalted one. I will stand high among the four of us as truly the greatest
while you get burned. The downside for you, however, is if they sweep and you don't bend the knee, you are lumped in as just as bad
as
him.
Exactly.
It does not make
that's
you
all,
any better.
That's
no,
all I'm
you
saying.
Coming out saying, well,
thank
I picked
you.
Five and that's, I was closer.
Wrong
no
is
one
wrong.
Cares about closer.
Wrong
dead
is
dead.
Wrong.
Fair.
Dead is
that's
dead.
Fair. That's fair.
But to my point, your take is barely alive right now. They've called the next of kin. There's a priest standing by. My take is still going about its business, working an 8-to-5 job, healthy as can be.
Not healthy as can be.
Can't be healthy.
They're 3.5. You're a 3.5 point dog tonight. You're rooting for a Portland team that's a 3.5 point dog. I wouldn't say you're 100% healthy. You got a bit of a limp. And you're coughing a little bit. People are probably thinking you might just have a cold.
Could be.
But it could be more.
Could be something terrible. And to your point about what does Portland have to play for, it's Dame Lillard. They don't want to have it end in this fashion. They want to give Damian Lillard one more crack at going back home to play in Oakland. The way it ends for Lillard in Oakland is in a Game 5 loss. It's not in a Game 2 loss. So they're going to fight tooth and nail tonight. At home, if the Warriors don't have Andre Iguodala, if the announcement is made, watch that spread and see where that spread winds up before tip time. And don't be surprised if Portland doesn't give a big effort tonight to force the thing back to Oakland for Lillard.
What, to jump on a plane, to come out here for Lillard? Come on. Guys are ready to pack up. They're ready to go get on a banana boat. They're looking at this thing at three. You punch them in the mouth, and they're like, it's over. They're going to look at one another and say, do we really want to do this? The Warriors need to do this. The Warriors are more in a situation, if you look in the East, the Big Bad East, it's physical, it's tough, and guys are playing basketball. Newsflash, Dibs, they're competing. And the Warriors understand what's at stake. They want this rest for Iguodala, for everyone. They're going to play to win tonight. They're playing to win the game. They are not going to sit around and try to be passive and say, oh, we're just going to play the bench players and let's go win in Oakland and let's go help Dame for him because he's coming back home. Come on, that's a cockamamie. What is this guy talking about?
You play to win the game.
Hello. You as a pro athlete should know that you play for each other. Unless you're one of these selfish guys, and based on what you showed earlier with your wad of cash and not having provided any of the lesser inclined staff with any how you doing, any breakfast or anything, I understand that you are probably a me first guy.
But a big miss, flaunting all that cash, not buying donuts
him,
or anything.
I always buy you
it's not about
and
me.
Stuff. I do
Turn
stuff
around
for
and the that, fellows
that's because
in the
you
back.
Two have this weirdo dating relationship thing going on. That's a separate relationship thing. You come in throwing money like that around. The least you could probably do is bring some donuts.
Would be good.
In hindsight, thinking about that I was very, very.
Oh, come on, Lowe.
I did a lot of cheering for you when I saw that cash. Now I'm realizing.
You know how to turn. I mean,
no sharing
you
of the
turn
wealth.
Things. So I mean, what did that have?
You
to
were
do
saying
with
that my opinion was cockamania, and I'm simply pointing out that not everyone is as self-centered as some. This Portland team will play hard tonight. They don't want to get swept. They do want to get back to Oakland for Damian Lillard, who, by the way, will play with a separated rib. I don't know if you've ever had a separated rib. I surely haven't. I'm just doing a little bit of the research on what it actually means, and it sounds incredibly painful, but you're going to see Dame out there balling out as hard as he can to get back to Oakland one last time.
I think I've heard before that a lot of times you'd be better off just breaking rib rather than suffering like a rib cartilage injury or a rib separation.
Man.
I've heard that several times that just you're better off to break the rib because of the pain. I mean, has the shine worn off Dame's postseason or what? Now, this isn't to knock him because everyone here is a fan of Damian Lillard, but he knocked down that series ender against OKC and he was the darling. he's 15 of 46 in this series. He's shooting 32%. He's only got 61 total points. He's been nowhere to be found when they've needed him at the biggest of moments. And granted, there's been some great defense on him, and he was hurt for the second part of Game 2 and for Game 3. I get that. This isn't, again, to knock him, but, man, it's to highlight the Warriors taking him completely out of the equation here.
Great coaching, and shout-out Ron Adams, you know, Fresno State finest. You know, defense, offense entertains, defense wins championships, and they're playing great defense. What they've been able to do collectively as a defensive unit is unprecedented, Daniel. I'm loving what I'm seeing, and it's a great, great, great way to
and
go
CJ
out.
CJ hasn't stepped up to pick up the slack, unfortunately. McCollum was, what, he was 7 of 20 in Game 3. That's not getting it done, 35%. When you know that the star, the Batman to your Robin, is down, that's where you got to step up in a big way. And McCollum hasn't had a good series either.
I hate to say this because he's a Lehigh guy and I like him. And I like Portland in general.
I don't like
but
Lehigh.
I don't think McCollum's a big game guy. I think he's a nice, like, number two on a good team. I don't really think he's a big time player.
He's Lowry in Toronto.
Yikes.
Huh. You know what I mean?
Lowry's been playing better, but Lowry's playoff history is one of
that's
just
what I'm saying. Dibs, you played basketball, and Joe, you have two.
He's in a movie playing basketball.
Yeah.
Well, I was on the bench.
Probably a good place for you, but I mean, no, nonetheless, you were in the movie. Kudos. That's awesome. Anyway,
Thank you for the kudos. That means a lot.
So
you had me too, and you let me off the hook.
I know, but I'm not going to do that because it was wrong.
You let me off the hook with kudos.
I know.
That's how I got off the ropes. But please continue, Deontay.
Okay. So I think we've all played basketball, even yourself, Anna, and you've been in situations where you're playing 21 and you're playing with the team, you're on a team, and your team's down, let's say, 19-5. And you're looking, and all of a sudden they have a guy there on defense, and you just walk down court. You see the fact you don't run, you don't hustle because you know it's over. You know it's over, and you come on. We've all been in that spot, so I'm trying to relate to you, Daniel. Here, so this
I've been in that spot, but I have never once reacted in the quitter way that you're describing. And this is like a mirror. You're showing a reflection on your own soul right now.
I'm shocked.
Shout out Black Mirror. They made the announcement. Black Mirror
episode 5 coming back. Part of me is dying on the inside hearing you talk about quitting so readily because I down 19-5. I'm going at somebody, Lo. I'm not going to go gently into that good night.
Really?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Just following up. Not saying yes or no. Just following up. Just making sure 19-5, you're not. Okay, that's fine.
So it's 19-19. You're not going to play harder? Or then it's when it's 19-5 and you know it's one shot, you guys are lying. And that's good, though.
Muscles.
That's fine. That's fine. Because now I can't believe any of you guys.
You work with a lot of people who never quit.
Much this like right now where he's shutting it down.
It's 19.
He's shutting it down.
I'm still here.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Klena Azubuki is going to be in studio with us beginning at 9 o'clock today. He'll be here for a full hour. I believe we'll be live streaming the show as well again.
Oh, that's great.
If you haven't checked any of this out yet, it's something we started last week. You go to the website, 957thegame.com. Right there on the main page, you can watch the show. We'll see if anyone's willing to bend the knee on their series predictions because everybody's series prediction right now looks to be in jeopardy if the Warriors find a way to close out tonight as 3.5-point favorites. Tip time, 6 p.m. right here on 957 The Game. Win this series, not tonight, but just win this series, and the Warriors will become the 8th team in American professional sports history to make 5 straight finals appearances. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL. There are only 7 teams in the history of those 4 sports that have gone to the finals 5 straight times. The Warriors could be the 8th. They look like they'll be the 8th, but they haven't gotten there yet. Does anyone know who the previous 7 are? Does anyone even want to guess the decade in which the last of the 7 happened? This
Boston.
Is very challenging, so I figure maybe there's one or two you guys can get, and then I'll read off the rest. But this is a place, this is an opportunity to put yourself in rarefied air. Only 8 teams in all of pro sports history have made it to the finals in 5 consecutive years. You guessed who just now?
Boston.
It's a very general guess. You're not going to give me any years.
Boston in the 60s
in
is
the
where
60s
I think
we're going. Yeah, when they had this.
Boston is at the top of the list. There are two American two professional sports franchises that take place in America, NHL, MLB, NBA, NFL, that have gone to the finals 10 straight times. The Celtics are one of them, 1957 to 1966.
Nice.
Does anyone know who the other may be?
It would be Les Habitants, the Montreal Canadiens.
The Montreal Canadiens, yes, 1951 to 1960. 10 straight finals appearances. Now, there are five other instances in which a pro sports team went to the finals 5 straight years. Any other guesses?
I'm going to guess the Bulls.
The Chicago Bulls, no, that is incorrect. That's a good guess. Incorrect.
No, it's no more basketball, but there is, I tell you what, there is individuals that went to 9 straight, and you know who that is, LeBron James.
I believe this is a team
not
category.
The question. But thanks for bringing him in. He's on vacation. Not correct.
I was just pleasing.
And you wonder why people want to bring eggs to a potential Warriors parade. I think that's Exhibit 7. Joe, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers of the 60s. I believe they opposed Boston more than 5 consecutive times. That's my guess.
The Lakers are not in there. Good guess. The Lakers are not in there.
So I'm the only one who got one. Then you continue.
No, I actually got the Montreal Canadiens, Lou.
Yeah,
so maybe you could wake up and smell the coffee and enjoy the segment.
His was more challenging.
Way more challenging.
Joe.
Honestly.
We talked about the Celtics last week.
He tipped it off with North American sports, but I was going there anyway.
Any other guesses? I'll go ahead and read them off. These are really tough.
Please.
All right. 6 trips to the finals in a row, 1950 through 1955,
Yankees.
The Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns from 1950
yes.
to 1955.
Jim Brown.
But nice yep. attempt to jump in there and grab a piece of it, although you have to yeah, there it is. That's unfortunate.
I said Yankees aren't in there?
I'm reading in order. I've given all the opportunities to guess.
Guess the Yankees again.
Now completed, and now I'm reading them off. 1979 to 1984, 5 straight trips. The New York Islanders.
Oh.
Believe it or not, at one point the Islanders were good.
Can't remember those days.
I don't think anyone can, not even the Islanders. 1964 to 1968, it's the Canadiens again.
Oui.
1960 to 1964, it's the?
Yankees.
And 1949 to 1953, it's the?
Yankees.
Nicely done.
Attaboy.
So the Warriors win this series, and they become just the 8th North American pro sports team to make 5 straight trips to the